Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 36 in our teaching series, The Third Side in the Clash of Three Kingdoms, titled The Ant and the Contact Lens. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
The Clash of Two Kingdoms. It's speaking about the days that we're in, and the subtitle to this week's teaching is The Ant and the Contact Lens. Now, I'm sure y'all got a revelation of what that is. And it's a little story. I like to begin the Proverbs with a little story to help bring us into the thought of this teaching today. Finding wisdom in the ant and the contact lens. Here's our little story. Brenda was a young woman who was invited to go rock climbing, although she was scared to death. She went with her group to a tremendous granite cliff. In spite of her fears, she put on the gear, took a hold of the rope, and started up the face of that rock. Well, she got to a ledge where she could take a breather. As she was hanging on there, the safety rope snapped against Brenda's eye and knocked out her contact lens. Well, here she is on a rock ledge with hundreds of feet below and hundreds of feet above her. Of course, she looked and looked and looked, hoping it had landed on the ledge, but it wasn't there. Here she was, far from home, her sight now blurry. She was desperate and began to get upset. So she prayed to the Lord to help her find it. When she got to the top, a friend examined her eye and her clothing for the lens, but there was no contact lens to be found. She sat down, despondent, with the rest of the party, waiting for the rest of them to make it up the face of the cliff. She looked out across the range after range of mountains, thinking of the Bible verse that says, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth." She thought, "Lord, you can see all these mountains. You know every stone and leaf. You know exactly where my contact lens is. Please help me." Finally, they walked down the trail to the bottom. At the bottom, there was a new party of climbers just staring at the face of the cliff. One of them shouted, "Hey, you guys, somebody lost a contact lens." Well, that would be startling enough, but you know what the climber, why the climber saw it. An ant was moving slowly across the face of the rock carrying it. Brenda told me that her father is a cartoonist. When she told him the incredible story of the ant, the prayer, and the contact lens, he drew a picture of an ant lugging that contact lens with the words, "Lord, I don't know why you want me to carry this thing. I can't eat it. It's awful heavy. But if this is what you want me to do, I'll carry it for you." Anybody ever carried a contact lens? I think it would probably do some of us good to occasionally say, "God, I don't know why you want me to carry this load. I can see no good in it. It's awful heavy. But if you want me to carry it, I will." God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Amen. Well, here's the author, which is unknown. I threw this one in, just maybe the Holy Spirit. We find ourselves in life carrying loads and things that we don't really understand why we're carrying it, but we're doing it just because. Have you ever carried something that you didn't understand why you're carrying it, and then you try to explain it to others? Have you ever been there? And how when God has us doing what we're doing, we're not really sure why we're doing it. We're just being obedient to the voice of God. And you try to explain it to somebody else, and it's just like, this really sounds dumb. But yet I know I need to do it. Just think of the ant when that happens, perhaps. Now, as we're speaking about the book of Proverbs, and with that little story in mind, wisdom is the spiritual gravity of the natural world. You can't see it, but it affects everything. We went into that teaching for several weeks on how that wisdom is what's called, we call it the spiritual gravity, and it affects everything. So when you see the lack of wisdom, things will appear to be out of control, right? Have you looked around you lately? I think we have what's called a lot of lack of wisdom. We're needing some wisdom. Now, wisdom lives on a high moral plane. I introduced you to that thought last week. Wisdom lives on a high moral plane. So I'm going to be talking a little bit today about this type of wisdom. How do we get wisdom? A lot of times people have this idea, if I get more knowledge or if my intellect sharper, that therefore it produces this wisdom. I will give you this, that it can produce a type of worldly or natural wisdom, but it doesn't equal a godly wisdom. A natural wisdom is more linear. It looks at. A godly wisdom looks in. It has its dimensional. But we're going to get into that just a little bit. Then I covered this also. Proverbs are principles, not necessarily promises. And principles are a path. So when we look at the book of Proverbs and we look at wisdom, wisdom is looking at where you are in any given situation today. And as we look at any given situation or crisis or whatever, we're looking for the wisdom. I taught you here a few weeks back how that in every crisis is a thread of wisdom that we're looking to speak in to the crisis. I've been through it teaching with you that there's wisdom. There's a thread of wisdom is in everything upon the planet because it's God. Principles are a path guiding us into how God is thinking. Now that's important. The will of God is always seeking a favorable outcome through divine principles. Now, notice I said it's always seeking a favorable outcome. You can take the book of Proverbs, and it's a set of wisdom bringing us into the principles to help us walk a path of life. Then you can read the book of Ecclesiastes, and then you get into another situation, and he'll even say he doesn't. Solomon says to have wisdom is to have vanity, he says. So we get into the book of Proverbs. I mean, Ecclesiastes. Now, the book of Proverbs speaks of principles. It's on a path. The goal is a favorable outcome. But in life, according to the book of Ecclesiastes, we see there's exceptions. Can anybody give a witness to that? The reality of life, there are exceptions, even if you're walking in wisdom. It's the exceptions, and if I really get froggy, and I might jump into the book of Ecclesiastes after Proverbs. I'm not sure if I'm ready for it. If I do, it'll be a very short teaching. But it just shows how the book of Ecclesiastes is more or less the exceptions of life that the book of Proverbs says to walk in these ways. Proverbs cannot make us wise, only God can. Now watch this. Knowing God is becoming wise. So to try to become wise without consideration, without knowing God, it just doesn't happen, because wisdom is a part of who God is. And so our goal is to know God. How do we know God? That means we are surrendering more of our life to God daily. The more we surrender, then the more we can know God. Now, Proverbs is a covenantal book. It's an agreement, formal, between two or more persons. That's what a covenant is, to do or not to do something specific. Now, get that phrase in your mind. It's kind of a covenant between us and God, Proverbs are. And the reason is because a proverb is using wisdom. When you use God's wisdom, it brings you kind of into a covenant with God. Now, you say, well, Alan, why don't I have a favorable outcome? Well, it's wisdom. Wisdom has two, it's like two sides of a coin. I think I gave you a little example here. Maybe it's right after this. It's a relational blessing made to man by God. That's wisdom. Not necessarily with a perceived outcome. So just think of wisdom. It's a relational blessing between God and man. So when we seek to use godly wisdom, we are entering into it's like a covenant with God. It's because we're wanting to take on the characteristics of God. So when we take on godly wisdom and use godly wisdom in any situation or any crisis, then we have hopefully a good outcome, but it's not necessarily any perceived outcome. I put this example up. Me, this is me talking. God, I sure messed up. God talking. I know I'm here with you in it. I'm here in it with you, right? So God's in covenant with us if we're using wisdom. But guess what? On the other side of the coin is when I'm not using wisdom, He's still there with me in the middle of my mess up. So when I'm trying to walk in godly wisdom, I'm trying to join God. When I'm not walking in godly wisdom, guess what? God will join me. And I think God just wants us to be as particular as possible with where we take Him. Amen? Because He is there with us. Now, that's the covenant part of the side of using godly wisdom. Now, we know the key verse. I've been over it a few times. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. You ever been there? I have, quite often. Now, I introduced us to this idea last week that wisdom comes from a moral mindset. And that's perhaps a new idea to some. But morality is what births it. Let's see what this is. We must humble ourselves. The Proverbs are a book on a high moral plane with dimensional wisdom. So there again, Proverbs is a book on a high moral plane, but it has dimensional wisdom. And I'm going to show you the dimensional wisdom. All right, let's look at this. It's in Proverbs. Let the wise hear and increase in learning. That's intellect, right? So is it wise to learn? Yes. Is it wise to have a good, strong intellect? The answer is yes. That is wise. And the one who understands obtains guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. I've had several prophetic dreams, and I think I've maybe shared this. And in them, one dream I had when I had cancer, and they gave me several months to live or whatever, I had this one dream, and I asked the angel. I was above the earth with the angel, and I was looking down on the earth, and I asked the angel, I said, how far is heaven? And in a prophetic dream, the angel looked at me and said, it's either one step or a long trip. Well, that's the riddle that the scriptures are speaking about. So in the dream, I received it. Now, here's the fun part. Back in that day, I was in my 30s, I'm 68 now. But back that day, I would cringe a lot of times when somebody said, well, I had a dream and it meant something. Well, then all of a sudden, I had a week of my life. That's about all God did was He would answer me in dreams. So here I find myself in a situation that I didn't know how well I'd even trust it myself, but yet God chose to speak to me. But it was in a riddle. It was just totally in a riddle. In the natural, I don't know that I was really up to it. I didn't know if God was meeting my criteria for spirituality. But when they give you 3 months to live, you're not quite as argumentative. You tend to take it more at face value. And so when I got that riddle, how far is heaven? It's either one step or a long trip. So then I started trying to, and in the dream, I said, I don't understand. That's too hard. That's what I told him. And he looked at him and said, 2 Peter chapter 1. So when I got he gave me the scripture, he did help me. But the point is not the dream as much as it is a proverb or wisdom a lot of times comes in a form of a riddle. And now, why, I don't know, unless God's just, I don't know, it sounds a whole lot like my daddy. He just wants you to work for it, I guess. And so as you work for it, I guess we, so I had to study 2 Peter chapter 1, and then it was talking about the divine nature. And so I got it, but yet it was spoken in a riddle. And that's what this proverb says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, key word of that last verse is fools. You might want to underline that. We might have time to get into that. I mean, Solomon loves to use the word fool. My mother didn't like for me to use the word fool, but Solomon used the word fool. Matthew 13, 23. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth and the word and understandeth it. Now you're saying, well, Alan, where are you getting that from? It's here. To understand a proverb. So you have a proverb. Sometimes it's a riddle, but we want to understand it. How can we understand this spiritual language? And here he says, but he that receives seed in the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So we see the ground in Matthew 13 that brought forth a harvest. Look at it this way. You had, what, let's see, you had stony ground, you had hard ground, you had thorny ground, and you had good ground. You had four types of ground. And we know that it is explained that that four types of ground is the condition of the human heart, stony, thorny, and hard ground. But this is from Matthew 23 of that parable. And it says, but there is the difference in those three grounds. Is that one had understanding, the other three didn't. Isn't that amazing? What? And let me submit this to you. The good ground had been bad ground. Somebody cleaned the thorns off, somebody picked the rocks up, and somebody got a hoe and fixed the ground. Anybody had any clearing done lately? And the clearing produces good ground. At least all three of those grounds, if you can read in Matthew 13, it describes the condition and goes into more detail of what those two particular grounds are. But the point here is that it had understanding. So some things are done by faith, which is true, but then there's a part of wisdom that brings understanding. So why do we want to seek after wisdom? Because I like to understand some of the stuff, wouldn't you? I say, come on, God, I need some help here. I can faith it, and I'll continue to faith it. But could we get a little understanding on the table? And the Lord says this, yes, you can get understanding, but he says, I need some good ground to put it in. And then I go to Matthew 13, and I see where we have to have some ground clearing so that God can plant his seed. Now, the point here is God plants the seed in the ground. Now, I'm going to show you this scripture. God plants the seed in the ground. Now, everyone sitting in here, if you've received Christ, there's more wisdom in you than you're using. You're welcome very much. Now, if that stung you a little bit, you're not turning your wisdom on. There's more wisdom in everyone in this room than you're using. I'm going to show it to you if you're interested. All right, here we go. When we plant the seeds of morality, we reap a harvest of wisdom. When we plant the seeds of morality. Okay, why should I not look at pornography? Number one, do I have to ask you if that's wise or not? No, that comes under a fool, as spoken by Solomon. That's what that comes under. Now, but there's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. Oh, I didn't sin. There's more to it than that. God's needing good ground in which he will plant wisdom in your heart. You see, God's looking for the ground. I can't plant the wisdom, but I can clean the ground. Then God, I'm going to show it to you. God will plant the seeds of wisdom in your heart. And I know that God's planted a lot of wisdom in your life that you're not using. Now, here's the bad side. When we are not using wisdom that God planted, you come under conviction. Mr. Wonderful Place, say glory, amen, hallelujah. You see, There's something working. You're like, Alan, you prove it. I want to understand. Let's see if we can understand here. When we plant the seeds of morality, we reap a harvest of wisdom. There is a seed that I plant, and it's being moral. There's one thing. Morality is a mindset. It's just not doing a sin. You have a mindset to do what's right. I used to ask my daddy, he'd tell me something to do. I say, Dad, why? He said, because it's the right thing to do. Now, just do it. Just because it's right. I was always looking for more. I guess I was. I don't know what I was thinking. But just do what's right. Well, that's what wisdom is. Wisdom is just doing what's right, but you have the understanding to go with it. So we can plant morality. That means we want to do right. We want to do what's right. So it's a mindset. Let's say that I'm in the pastor and I are debating something. And in our debate, am I trying to win or am I trying to do what's right? There's a difference because we're in such a competitive society that everybody wants to win. So when you look out here in the world today and you turn on the news, and I don't know if you noticed it or not, but there's a lot of opinions out here. And when you look at all of these opinions, it's so competitive that I even forget what the point is. Does anybody else? It's so competitive. Yeah, it came from over here, came from over there, but I, son of a gun, I don't remember what we're arguing about. And so when it's competitive, it's kind of a bad sign to us. Now, we want to plant the seeds of morality. True godly wisdom is never detached from morality. True godly wisdom is never detached. Now, here again, we're looking at, okay, this, you got to understand, wisdom is a gift from God. You can't work it up. Matter of fact, it says in James 1:4, I think, how do you get wisdom? You ask for it. That's how you get it. You ask for it. Now, let's move. True godly wisdom is never detached from morality. So here's what happens. When we do not have a moral mindset, we think we're the smartest we've ever been. It's a blamest thing you ever. Now, I know this from experience. If I have an immoral mindset, it's the smartest I've ever been. I was convicted years ago, probably 30 years ago or more. As farmers, you like to go to sales. I know none of y'all that way, but you like to go to sales. So as a farmer was selling out or whatever, you'd go. And this one farmer went broke, and the bank was selling it out. And so everything was going for pennies on the dollar. And I was there, and I had a tractor and a few items I was wanting to bid on, and it's going cheap. And I got ready to bid, and the Holy Spirit said, don't bid. You're not to gain off of someone else's loss. And you know what the Holy Spirit said to me? That's buzzard buying. That's what he said. He said, that's buzzard buying. I'm like, but it's okay. The bank's doing it, God. The bank's selling it out. Don't profit by another person's crisis. And I got it. Now, it didn't make sense hardly at the time, but I knew for me to do that, it wasn't an act of morality. Does that make sense to anybody? That was for somebody, I don't know who it was for, and I'm sorry, I didn't like it either, but it's just the truth. There it is. True godly wisdom is never detached from morality. So as God's teaching us morality, morality doesn't have to overuse grace. Morality doesn't have to overuse grace. Now, let's move. True God of wisdom is never detached from morality, for morality is the hand that guides it. I can feel a witness of the Spirit right there. True God of wisdom is never detached from morality, for morality is the hand that guides it. And so to constantly be in a state of seeking God, I said, God, I want to be moral in all my business dealings. I want to be moral in my relationships. Do I achieve that? The answer is no. But I will tell you this, I bet I'm under more conviction than you are. It takes wisdom to understand that statement. And I'm very honest with you. It's like I'm under conviction all the time. But it's not a bad thing. It's truly not a bad thing. Now, here we go. Now, let's talk about dimensional wisdom. I said that last week, and I noticed a few eyes go up. What is dimensional wisdom? It's really not that hard. Unnatural wisdom, it's selfish-based. It's out of our fallen nature. An unnatural wisdom, it is, if you... A con artist uses unnatural wisdom. In other words, you can... I had a friend of mine that was a con artist. God saved him. And I'm sure a lot of y'all know him, but I'll not mention his name's Doug. But he was just an incredible con artist, and God saved him. And I remember when he got saved at Jeff's church, he was sitting on the front row, and I went up. I said, Doug, you have to quit carrying your gun to church. Now today, half a congregation carries. So I owe Doug an apology. A con, when we con each other, we con ourselves. Did you know you con yourself more than anybody on the planet? In other words, I judge you by what you do, and I judge myself by my intentions. Notice that? You know, that's a con job. And so when we con, or when we try to outthink someone or out-trade or out-whatever, that's called unnatural wisdom. Now, the reason is it takes a fallen nature to be able to operate in an unnatural type of wisdom. It's on this level that you can at times get some help from some demons. Yeah, that's right. Most addictions come under unnatural wisdom. Because you think you have convinced yourself that you need the substance. Right? So there's a spirit usually attached to unnatural wisdom. And it'll cause you to do things that are not natural. Right? It's just not natural. It's unnatural wisdom. Then we have what we call natural wisdom. These are dimensions of wisdom, which is the intellect, sometimes with motive, I put in there. So there's nothing wrong with natural wisdom to gain knowledge and with the intellect, and there's nothing wrong with it, but it's a natural type wisdom that is not foolproof. Doesn't always, in other words, the one and one does not always equal two when using the intellect and natural wisdom. Now, here's godly wisdom. It's morality-based plus intellect with a godly motive. That's what Solomon's speaking about, the type, hukmah, that type of wisdom that's from God. It's got a godly motive. Now, godly wisdom with this type of a motive, it's morally based. And that one cannot be sidestepped. And it's, I don't know how to say it, but it is, when you get it yourself into a situation or a crisis, and if the first thing you ask yourself, what is morally correct here? If when we go through that process, what is God's wisdom in this situation? You will be surprised how it can spring up. Now, I want to move on quickly because I'm wanting to show you how these seeds are planted of wisdom and where it comes from. Knowledge guided by morality births wisdom. Now, I just jotted these things down as I was studying in the scriptures, but knowledge guided by morality births wisdom. I think that's incredible. Knowledge guided by morality births wisdom. Now look at this one. The young Martin Luther King Jr., when he was graduating senior at Morehouse College, Martin Luther King Jr., he was graduating, and he was quoted by saying this. He wrote, "The most dangerous criminal may be the man gifted with reason, but with no morals." Isn't that powerful? He said, "The most dangerous criminal may be the man gifted with reason, but with no morals." Now, you know the man that shot and killed him had no morals. His reasoning was working in his mind, that it was the product of what he said right there. Had no morals. So it lets us know that we can have a gift of reason or a gift of intellect, a gift of knowledge, of all knowledge, but lest it be guided by morality, it can bring death instead of life. Now, let's look here. I got a few minutes. A healthy conscience bears witness to what God has put in our hearts. All right, I want to move. I got 10 minutes here. I want to move quickly. A healthy conscience bears witness, to what God has put in our hearts. That's the reason I said, if you're sitting out here and you've been born again, you've got more wisdom in you than you're probably using. You see, the battle is between using this godly wisdom and our own thoughts. Does anybody else have that battle other than me? It's in there. I'm not saying all wisdom's in there, but you got enough to run on because God put it there. Now look at it. Romans 2:14. "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law," now look at this, "have not the law, do by nature," you see that? "The things contained in the law." Well, isn't that something? "These having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their" what? "Hearts." "Their conscience also doing" what? "Bearing witness and their thoughts while accusing or else excusing one another." Here's what he's saying. God has planted the law. God did it. He says right there, the Gentiles are doing by nature. So in this day that we're in, we have a nature planted in us to do the right thing. You don't have to study anything. It helps. But what I'm saying is the nature's there. God, he says it right there. "For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law." And what's judging it? What's bearing? It's your conscience. So that for that reason, God is the one who plants the wisdom in the human heart. It's part of the divine nature of 2 Peter chapter 1. We have a nature that's called divine that God has given us upon receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We have begun the journey of taking on the nature of Christ. And it's in that nature that God Himself places in you seeds of wisdom. And your conscience, He puts it in your heart, written in their hearts, and your conscience bears witness to it. In other words, if you do something that's not wise, your conscience is going to say, "You fool." Anybody with me? Or you're going to have what we used to call a guilty conscience. That's back in the day we had one. Right? Do you remember? There used to be a day that we had guilty consciences. That's when we were not doing the things that this divine nature told us to do. Point being this. You have in you right now, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the nature that God will plant the wisdom in your life that you need so you know what the heck to do in a time of crisis. It's in you. When people come talk to me, I try to find out what God's put in you. Then you'll discover what God's put in you. Then I'll say it and I'll think, oh, you're a great prophet. I'm like, no. No, I'm just trying to pull out of you what God's already put in you for this set of circumstances. That's all I'm trying to do. Because it's put in you by God. This wisdom is. So can you see how immorality will not release godly wisdom? Right? Selfishness and sin covers up the heart. Our job is to clean the heart. The wisdom's there. Some of you sitting in here today and say, well, Alan, I got this circumstance. I don't know what to do. I've started to put up about 10 or 15 verses on how you do. Maybe I will next week. On how you do know what to do. God's already put it in your heart what you need to do. That's right. Now, I'm just about run out of time. Now watch this one. A healthy conscience is the beginning of wisdom in which God stored in our hearts. It's not very good English, is it? A healthy conscience, but y'all get what I'm saying, all right? This is where I default to I'm a farmer. A healthy conscience is the beginning of wisdom. A healthy conscience. What is a healthy conscience? A healthy conscience is one that you hadn't wore out with reminding you you're doing the wrong thing, right? Give your conscience a break. Let it rest, right? A healthy conscience. That's where we're trying to walk in wisdom, giving our conscience a little bit of a rest. But a healthy conscience is the beginning of wisdom in which God stores things in our hearts. He stores the wisdom in our heart. God supernaturally gives us revelation of His laws He puts in our hearts. In other words, there's more in your heart than you know. God's Spirit brings you revelation, and that produces the wisdom in which how to act. Listen, there's a lot of supernatural stuff about receiving Jesus Christ. One is, you got His nature. Isn't that cool? But I'm afraid, and perhaps, and I bring to you to test, perhaps we're not using it as much as is available. Because of the fall, our consciences are continually being dulled by sin. And you got to understand, remember in the Scripture, the conscience is what bears witness to these laws of God in our heart. Are you with me? So it's important to take care of our conscience and keep it healthy. How do you keep a healthy conscience? Is you respond to it. We need to repent. We need to be the first ones that repent. Repent is our friend. Repentance is totally our friend. If I've wore out anything, it's repentance. And I would have thought as I get older, I would need it less, but I need it more. Now, yeah, I could tell who was over 65. You kind of went like that. Okay. For this reason, God gives us revelation. When God brings revelation, I want you to consider. God's given revelation of a testimony of what He's already put in your heart. God's already put in your heart by operation of the Holy Spirit of what you're going to need for tomorrow. God, it's a supernatural thing by His Holy Spirit. And then He starts bringing revelation to this crisis that I'm in. All of a sudden, you'll remember this Scripture and that Scripture. If you don't remember the Scripture, Google it. It's legal. It's legal. Now, the Bible is God's moral will, which needs revelation to the heart. Now, I'm going to stop here. The various types of people in the book of Proverbs. This is a very interesting topic of the various type of people. What I was wanting to cover mainly today is for us to understand and to receive that having for our goal for us to reach for morality is a move of walking and living in the Spirit. That's been the goal. It's not as much the obtaining it as it is the walking of it, walking in the direction of it. It's the walking in the direction of it that the wisdom comes. Nowhere is it saying that we're perfection, that we're in a place of perfection. No, He's the perfection, and we are walking unto Him. Amen? Okay, that's enough for one day for you guys. I love you, believe it or not. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we love You, and I thank You for this day. And I ask and pray, Lord God, if there's anything that I've said that's not of You, I pray it'll fall to the ground. And if anything that I've said, oh God, is of You, I ask and pray that it'll be quickened to our hearts. It'll be tested for truth. And I pray, oh God, that the revelation that You have already put in the hearts of Your people, I pray that it would leap. And dear God, let us all understand we can trust Your Holy Spirit in us. We can trust Your voice in us. And dear God, I thank You that putting the truth in our hearts is not all up to us, that You've promised that You'll put it there. Be with us as we worship. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.